The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience, the resurrection. Let's get it straight. It's the key. Also, the Word of God, watch this, is more scientific than science. Oh, and finally, do we have any openings in our lives that Satan can take advantage of?
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Da-da-da-da! Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call at 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. Praise reports, prayer requests, trivia, a bunch of stuff. We do it. That's what we do. We even have Sam calling up and usually saying Shabbat Shalom, Dave, which we really appreciate. Keep in mind, you can call and you can be on the air and nobody's going to freak out about it because it's not professional radio. No, this is not professional radio. No, sir. No, siree, Bobby. Nope. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. Before we get into our history, before we get into our lesson, let's take a moment and acknowledge one of our sponsors. I'm talking about Kimberly McQuinn for real estate. Now, I just have to be careful because that song is so mellow.
It did, didn't it?
It's like, I'm telling you, it's like, am I listening to Kenny Loggins? It's like, it goes right down. Anyway, here's the deal. Kimberly McQuinn, she knows a lot about real estate. How much is a lot? A lot. It's like Abraham. He knew a lot. Get it? Lot, that was his nephew. That's why he knew a lot. See, here's how it goes. She's familiar with first-time buyers and walking them through the process. She's also familiar with working with experienced investors, foreclosures, short sales. It doesn't matter. She's an associate broker and a realtor with Fathom Realty, and she is extraordinary. Her and her husband, Tony, fantastic believing Christians. They go, you know why I consider people, you know how I consider them fantastic? You're probably sitting there thinking, well, what qualifies somebody as fantastic? In fact, terrific Tierra might even say to me, Dave, what qualifies a fantastic Christian? You might even ask me that, right?
Yeah, what qualifies?
A fantastic Christian? Here it is. That they understand that there's trials and tribulations and hardship and difficulty, as well as smiles and laughters and victories and dances. That they get it all. Because the reality check in Christianity is it's all a part of it. And these are people that are fully well acquainted. And Kimberly, way deep. You can't be a former broker without knowing like everything. It's like you got to know every little everything everywhere. And now she's an associate broker with Fathom Realty. She's a realtor there. She's really revamping her entire career in real estate. You want to talk to her. Listen to this great phone number, 903-48-HOMES. If you're going to be a realtor, having homes in your number is fantastic. 903-48-HOMES. Get that? She is connected to us at HeMustIncrease.org. Plus, the whole concept here is to turn to Kimberly, turn to somebody who really knows what they're doing, turn to somebody who's a real estate professional, turn to RealtyTeam.com is their website.
Turn to the number two, realtyteam.com. How about that? That's pretty good. Okay. Let me check in with terrific Tierra to see how she's doing. This is the first of five shows. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm excited because you do a great job.
You know, I try. I try every time.
You do an excellent job. And so we're excited to see what the whole week brings, because we know the Lord will bring blessing into people's lives. And the only reason it won't be a blessing for you is you didn't hear it. See? But then you wouldn't even know I said that, because then you wouldn't. Okay. See, it's a paradox. Oh, never mind. Let's talk about some of the classic holiday days. Are you familiar with any of the holidays that are on today that you're aware of?
No, besides the Valentine's Day Friday.
Valentine's Day Friday. Today's President's Day, which is why the bank is closed.
I forgot. I'm slow.
That's
today.
Okay. And then there's no mail delivery today. And the thing I like about no mail delivery, so people know that, is it just means that that bill isn't getting there that fast. That's what I love about that. So when they said, we might not do deliveries on Saturday, I'm thinking, good, my Saturdays will never be ruined. That's fantastic. Okay. It's also Random Acts of Kindness Day. It's that. Now watch this. National Championship Crab Races Day. Don't ask. National Indian Pudding Day. That pudding was created by colonists in New England in about the late 17th century, based on cornmeal, just to let you know. And here's my favorite. My mom taught me this. It's Washington's birthday, but it's also Birthington's wash day.
Wow.
There you go. See, that's how I grew up, folks. You grew up one way. I was like, Mom, it's Washington's birthday, but don't forget, it's Birthington's wash day. You're like going, huh? Okay. A couple things just to tell you on this particular day. 1933, Newsweek was published for the first time. What a shame. It never really should have been published. It's a terrible magazine. I happen to know my cousin used to be the editor. So, blah. 1959, yep. First weather satellite is launched. 1959, and the next day, first UFO is sighted. Oh, no, wait. Not exactly correct. 1934, first color cartoon from Merry Melodies. It was called Honeymoon Hotel. A lot of people don't know that. There's a lot of things going on. First cartoon that had a lot of pizzazz to it. That's kind of cool. All right, here we go. I promise you, we don't shy away from getting into the teaching process. Tomorrow, by the way, we have Trevi Troy going to be coming on. If you don't know who he is, he's a presidential historian, has worked with the White House, has written a book about Trump and about Truman and about all the presidents and how they all get lambasted. But he does have a section about no drama Obama, which I think is really funny. So we can't wait to get to that. He'll be on our show tomorrow at 2:30. Plus, we're giving away tickets tomorrow to an SMU basketball game. So, and that's my way of telling that to Tierra, because I forgot to tell her.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. All right, here we go. Acts chapter 1, verse 20 through 22, it says the following. It is written, for it is written in the book of Psalms. This is Acts 1:20. Let his dwelling become desolate, let no one live in it, and let someone else take his position. Therefore, from among the men who have accompanied us during the whole time that Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day he was taken up from us, from among these it is necessary that one become a witness with us of his resurrection. So for people that do not know, kind of a theological teach-along kind of moment, for a person to be qualified in that original apostleship, now there are apostles now, but it's not the same as the 12. And one of the distinguishing marks of the 12 is that they were with Jesus the whole time from the beginning of John the Baptist's ministry up until the time that Jesus ascended. This was a qualifier for one of the original 12. And so now they're going to replace Judas, and that's the qualifier that they drop in. They just say, look, it's got to be a person amongst us who's been there the whole time from the beginning of John the Baptist's ministry until Jesus ascended, taken up from us. It's necessary that one becomes a witness with us. Why? Because 11 is not the complete number, neither for the apostles, neither for the nation Israel, and 12 was necessary. So they were basically, you can say it all the way you want, they were replacing Judas. Okay, dude blew it. Dude decided to go a different direction. Yes, Jesus specifically personally selected Judas? Judas have a different plan? A lot of people say, well, he may have repented. That may be the case. I do not know that for a fact or not for a fact. I know he's the son of perdition, so I don't care. It's pretty solid what the scripture says about him. But the qualification to be in that position to take his place was being around from John the Baptist to the ascension. And here's a simple question. Why? It's not complex, folks. Why? Why was that important? Why? Because they say specifically what the reason is. To become a witness with us of his resurrection. There is something ghastly missing in Christian declarations, especially amongst our politicians who try to teach that Jesus spoke more about the poor than he did about faith. That's totally false. That he spoke more about the poor than he did about eternity. That's totally false. That he spoke more about the poor than he did about evil and Satan and warfare. That's totally false. And what happens is people from a sociological point of view focus on what they want to focus on, which is fantastic. But scripture gives its own proclamations and declarations. They wanted a witness to be amongst them, known as the 12, for what? To witness to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Okay? It's a non-negotiable. You know how we talk about that there's unity and we have unity in the body of Christ? There are some things in our framework as Christians that are non-negotiable. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is one of the non-negotiables. Okay? Turning and having faith in Christ, non-negotiable. Whether you guys do communion the first month, the last month, or every week, negotiable. Resurrection of Jesus Christ, not negotiable. Whether you're a pre, mid, post rapture or an amillennialist, it's a negotiable. It's fine. When you're a non, not negotiable. I mean, in other words, when you're talking about the resurrection, it's non-negotiable. It's just not something you can. This is not Christian existentialism. Okay, the resurrection proves that everything that Jesus said is true. That's important. Just call me crazy. It proves that he defines John chapter 14, verse 6. He is the only way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. There's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And then it also defines for us that there's a real, genuine hope of eternal life. It's not pie in the sky. Jesus resurrected from the dead. Those are three things the resurrection brings to us immediately. And while we can have charitable moments together and we can have things that we disagree about from a ecclesiology point of view or even from an eschatology point of view when it comes to soteriology and the resurrection of Jesus Christ and Christology, which has to do with the resurrection of Jesus Christ, no negotiation. Because it proves that everything that Jesus said is true. He is the only way and real hope of eternal life exists because of Jesus. Bam! So we're going to take our break and come back. Good job, by the way, Tara. She notified me. Let me know. Folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Get your real estate agents here on sale. Only a dime a dozen. Step right up and get your agents.
What's going on here?
Real estate agents are in bloom here in Texas, so they're being offered only a dime a dozen.
Is this how real estate agents seem to you? A dime a dozen? Well, that's enough. Kimberly McQuinn, Realtor and Broker Associate with Fathom Realty, is not a dime a dozen real estate agent. Real estate isn't her hobby, it's her passion. With over 12 years of experience, Kimberly knows real estate isn't about selling, it's about the relationships. Get a free consultation by reaching out to Kimberly at turn2realtyteam.com. That's turn2realtyteam.com or call 903-484-6637. That's 903-48-HOMES. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or an experienced investor, whether you need a short sale or are looking for foreclosures, Kimberly is the quality you want and deserve for your real estate needs. Don't get the dime a dozen agent. Turn to the best. Turn to Kimberly.
The David Spoon Experience.
So in this position, I have the opportunity to interview people and have so for the last 5 years from all across the range of Christianity. from authors and from actors and musicians. We are about to have an opportunity we've never had on this show. We actually have Lee Strobel on the phone with us. It was 19 years ago, I believe, this September 1st, where his book came out, The Case for Christ. If you're Jewish like I am and then became a Christian, that was when you went, oy vey. This book was a life changer for many, and now it's a movie. Lee, are you there on the phone with us?
I am, David. How you doing, my friend?
I am doing fantastic. Thrilled to have you on the show. It's
Thank you. My privilege.
I just got to start. I know they give you a list of questions just so you can know, Lee. I never use them. So
good for you.
It's like, come on. I want to tell you, we're brothers here.
Absolutely.
In the Lord. Talk to me. First of all, you wrote this book, The Case for Christ. Let's first talk about the writing of the book, and then we'll talk about that connection to the movie. Why did you write this book?
Well, I didn't start out to do that. I mean, I was an atheist. My wife became a Christian. So in order to try to rescue her from this Christian cult, I decided to use my journalism training and legal training and disprove Christianity to show that the resurrection never really happened. Of course, I ended up coming to the opposite conclusion and ended up coming to faith. But I did this investigation for my own edification, for my own education, not because I wanted to write a book. And then it was actually later my wife said to me, hey, you ought to write a book about that. I said, really? She said, sure. So that's how the book came about.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. By the way, you can reach us the following ways, 972-445-0770. I know it's scary. It's a telephone. Maybe you don't like broccoli like Ronald Reagan, but it's a telephone. You can do it. 972-445-0770. Call and say howdy. Website, hemustincrease.org. Hemustincrease.org. In the middle of that website, we have the opportunity for you to give. You're going to hear our first commercial about giving during this show. It's a doozy. I write all the commercials. It's a doozy. It's long, but it's a doozy. Here's the bottom line. In order for us to stay on the air, we need your help. That's it. If you want to help, great. If you don't, great. That's it. That's all you're getting. I got nothing else for you. I do want to say this. This segment is brought to you by our good friend Clint and Mr. Restore.
Come to save the day. Yes, sir, when there is a wrong to right.
All right, fire and water damage cleanup, smoke cleanup, wind and flood cleanup, any kind of sewage removal, restoration services. They do free evaluations, advanced drying technologies. They work with all the insurance companies. They're A-plus rated with the BBB, 50 years of restoration experience. Thousands. Well, let's take a break there. Thousands of happy customers. That's pretty good. Family owned and operated, 24/7 emergency response and on site within 60 minutes. And we had Clint on last week. He said usually within 45. In fact, one of the coolest moments of that interview, because we had him on the phone, was he just walked us through. Somebody calls Mr. Restore. What happens from the moment they call to all done? And it's like he walked through each process, each segment, each element, which is like something people need to know. Now, there's three ways to get in touch with them. One, you can go to their website, MrRestore.com. That's probably the easiest way, MrRestore.com. You can also call them at 877-631-7576. That's 877-631-7576. You can also go to hemustincrease.org, and we have a link from our website to their website under Best Ministry Partners Ever. Now, I have heard it said on not competing, because I don't think anybody is really competing with us in this space. We just do ministry. But on other radio stations, they say nobody can remember a phone number. I got news for you. If you needed to know 10 numbers to win a $100 million lottery, I feel in my heart you could remember 10 numbers. So I'm just going with it. Their number, 877-631-7576. That was a polite way of making fun of somebody, wasn't it? That was really nice of me. All right. Let's see what else I want to do. Don't forget about Trevi Troy is going to be on the show tomorrow. And like I said, we're giving away SMU tickets to the men's basketball. We're doing that tomorrow, not today. Let's take a deep breath. Talk to Johnny Hill. He's going to be on the show. I think he'll be on Thursday and maybe Friday. Friday's got to move. I think Thursday, maybe Wednesday too. We're going to see how that goes. I want to talk to you about something about the Word of God. All right. As many of you know, I'm praying and asking the Lord for wisdom. And you think, oh, this is Dave just promoting something. Nope, not promoting this. I'm trying to figure out whether or not to do a PhD pursuit. And I've told you before, this is something that would add to my cost. It's not free. I'm not sure if I need it or not. I'm trying to really decide whether I'm just doing it because I'm an arrogant guy. I am arrogant. I just can't decide whether that's why I'm doing it. So, you know, those two things are kind of like intermixed. But the reason that I would do it was just give me that much more of a background knowledge and that much more insight on the Word of God. Now, why is that important? Because what you're going to find out is as you go through the rest of your life, whether you're 90 or 9, is that there's always going to be things that they're going to say on the air, in the media, that science has declared that try to make buffooneries of all of us goofy believers, us goofy Bible believers. So, for example, before this show started, there's a whole bunch of people making, you know, the Church of England going, look, you shouldn't have premarital sex. And then they're all, oh, look at those buffoonery Christians. It's like there's a couple of reasons why premarital sex is not great, not the least of which is it takes away all the anticipation and excitement, and then it dulls you out for other things. That's just a fact. You can get mad at me all you want. That's what most people go through. The other part about that that's crazy is that they just can't stand that we'll refer to the Bible. So I want to use a story and give you an understanding of Scripture. Scripture communicates things on a regular basis that have either scientific application or are there for you to note who's really in charge of the processes. So while everybody thinks that it's all about your power to vote, if you think that God is allowing the most powerful person on the planet just to pop up out of nowhere, you're wrong, whether that's Obama or Trump. Doesn't matter. If you really believe that God is in charge, he's in charge. Or you don't believe he's in charge. Which one? If you believe one is judgment, one is not, fine, I don't care. But don't you ever think that God's up there going, oh, I hope they choose good. I hope they make a good choice. God's not up there fretting. God's in charge, and he's running things. So I want to just make a reference to a couple of things that go around the scientific community. They make fun of Christians because they say that Christians are flat earthers. First of all, that is not true. Bible-believing born-again Christians are not flat earthers. Jewish people who have been Bible-devoted followers of God are not flat earthers. In fact, science was the flat earther until about 1,500 years ago or somewhere in that range, which is ironic since more than that, 2,200 years ago, the Bible had already stated the earth wasn't flat. If you just read it, you would know that. It says this, ready? Isaiah 40:22, he sits enthroned above the circle of the earth. Okay, now I went to kindergarten. Okay, I didn't do great in kindergarten, but I went to kindergarten. I went to first grade. A circle, wait, is round. Isn't it? Is it? I thought a circle was round. Is it not? God sits on the circle of the earth. The what? I thought the earth was flat. Well, that's just because they weren't reading Isaiah 40:22. Wait, that's nothing. Listen to this. Psychological science has just recently proven, so nice of them, they just discovered that people believe in God because of creation. Romans chapter 1, verse 20. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so men are without excuse. 2,000 years ago, somebody wrote, pretty much people attached to it, and they are without excuse just because of the witness of God in nature. But thank goodness that psychological science recently, in the last 50 years, figured that out. They're only 1,950 years behind. That's just if you use scripture. And what I'm trying to say is the Bible's not a science book. And for people that think it is, it ain't. Okay? The Bible should be thought of this way. Dear human race, Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21, love God. That's what it is. It's a love letter from God to the human race. And there are viewpoints of history, and in fact, one historical event is viewed in two or three different ways that give us understanding and give us a greater appreciation for who God is and what he's doing. It is not a textbook that you get for math. The Gospels are not these historical documents that only apply from a historical point of view because they're four authors talking about four encounters with Jesus Christ. And what happens is people think, well, they should all say the same. I have never met another person in all the planet that went to a Star Wars movie with me that walked out and thought every single thing I thought about the Star Wars movie. That has never happened, not once. Why is that important? Because everybody who sees something sees it from slightly different angle and different filters. So if you go up to an animal, let's say, what's a big animal? What's a huge? Give me a big animal.
Elephant.
Okay. If you go up to an elephant from the north, south, east, and west, two of those perspectives are going to be similar, and the other two are going to be really different. But it's the same elephant. It's just the way that you see it is different. So if you come at the elephant from the front, you're going to be like, oh, he's got a big nose thing. If you come to the elephant from behind, you're going to be like, I got the worst view. If you come at him from the left, from the side, you're going to go, he's really big on this side. And then another one might go, he's really big on this side. You see how that works? But it's the same elephant. The point of that is for you to understand that the scripture is there. It's not a science book. It's just so much wisdom and knowledge in it that if you embrace it and get into it, you're going to find out that you get to understand God a little better. And isn't that why you're alive? I know it's not to pay your rent, right? All right. Come back. We're going to talk a little bit about some really tough subjects. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Don't go anywhere. Can't stand the
skill, can't stand. Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interests. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water,
what is the David Spoon Experience?
John 7:24. Stop judging by mere appearance and make a right judgment. That's all good. For 1 Corinthians 6:2, do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if you are to judge the world, are you not competent to judge trivial cases? You can't say Christians can't judge. They're commanded to. Here it is right here. Ready? Here's the bowling ball knocking down the pins. Every day as Christians, we have to judge what is appropriate, proper, healthy, and useful. Also, what people we believe we should hang out with, trust, believe in, or let influence, we have to judge that on a regular basis. When you choose your church, you're using your judgment abilities.
Bazinga.
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 Bazinga. I love that. Because listen, when you're choosing your church, you have to decide to pick one over another. Oh, here's the key. You're going to hate me. Ready? Here it is. If we have no ability to judge, we can't vote.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
Sometimes
welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. In Texas. All right. If you want to call us, 972-445-0770. Website, hemustincrease.org. Email, david@hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. And YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. We have like 70 videos. I think there's 70 on there. But most all of that stuff accessible by HeMustIncrease.org. A couple things I do want to cover with you and go over. Like I mentioned, Johnny will probably be here on Thursday. Trevi Troy will be here tomorrow. Tickets tomorrow. Keep me in prayer, trying to make some, you know, wisdom decisions. Here's the thing. People act like every decision they make is perfect. Everything they do is perfect. That's the act. Okay. But you and I know in our hearts that sometimes the opportunity to make a decision is easy. And sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes you understand what's going on somewhat, and sometimes you're clueless as to what's going on. Sometimes the Lord will show you bits and pieces, and sometimes the Lord won't show you any of it, and you have to walk into it day by day, which is, by the way, why Jesus said, when you pray, pray this, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Give us this day our daily bread, which shows you it's daily. I mean, you can't escape some of the insight and some of the wisdoms, right? And so I seek wisdom, you seek wisdom. And one of the things that we do, this is kind of not going where I thought it would go, but let's just go with it for a little bit. One of the things that Christians will do is nobody wants to be like the Pharisees and ask for a sign to prove that God is doing what's going on. Nobody's looking to say to God, you know, show me a sign to prove you're real, which is what they did to Jesus. None of us listening, or very few of us, I should say, listening, will do that. What we will do is we'll say, can you give me a sign or a witness or an affirmation or confirmation to the direction I'm going? That is not abnormal. God did that with Moses. He did that with David. He did that with Abraham. That's not a bizarre thing in the slightest. Obviously, he did it with Gideon three times. So it's like, okay, got that. The problem for Christians, or the problem for me, maybe you guys have it completely figured out, and I'm the only Christian in the United States, in Texas, who sits there, and when something happens, I read into it. Or it's almost like, is that an answer to what I was asking? Or is that the same thing I was trying to pursue? Does that make sense? Or whatever the case may be. And so I'm looking for God to give me affirmation for the affirmation for affirmations. And you get caught up in this cycle. And here's the thing to remember that's hard for me to remember, but necessary for me to remember. And that is, the Lord knows everything about me, right? He knows that I'm trying to make the best decisions. He knows I'm trying to do the right thing. He's not up there going, well, that dummy, he doesn't even know. It's like, he knows I'm trying to figure this out. And if I am going in the wrong direction and it is necessary for him to intervene, he will. The scripture says, if you be otherwise minded, he will reveal even this unto you. God will show us. But in absence of a sign or an affirmation or in the multitude of counselors, in the absence of all that, all you can do is make the best decision you can make make that decision, lay it before the Lord, and say, here you go. And if I'm doing this wrong, help me out. I'm not trying to do it wrong. And, you know, guide me and direct me. And that's the best that you can do. And here's something that'll really tweak your thinking for a second. If God gives you a sign, it doesn't really take faith at that point. It takes obedience. And things that God has us do in his kingdom have to do with faith. Faith is not, it's correct. You're doing it right. Here's Skittles and rainbows. Okay, that doesn't take faith, right? Faith is something that you don't see and yet you still believe. So sometimes you just got to do it by faith. And if you make the wrong decision, God's not up there going, oh, no, I didn't know. Okay, so for some of you who are facing big life decisions, you're just like me. I'm not sure that this decision is a huge life decision. It'll affect my life, but, you know, it's not really a grocery decision. Here's the bottom line. If the Lord doesn't give you anything that's clear in counsel, clear by situation, clear by direction, clear in the word, clear with your spouse, clear with your friends, clear with your fellowship, and you're just like, I just got to make the best choice again, just make the best choice you can. Do the best you can. He's not unaware. Now, segueing from that, which has nothing to do with what I'm talking about, I think we'll skip the rest of the read so you don't have to worry about it, Jared. Segueing from that is this one point I want to bring up, because the next segment I'm going to be talking about Moses. There is something that Christians should be aware of, and that is, and I was just talking to Johnny about this today, there is for a lot of Christians a great deal of spiritual warfare that doesn't look like spiritual warfare under the umbrella of this phrase. Ready? Distraction. In your pursuit of the Lord, there can be quite a bit of distraction, and the enemy wants to increase that. Now, I know that we're not walking around in our lives going, you know, I want to sin. I want to do these things wrong. But it is easy in this world, especially the way things are promoted, to be distracted from the course. And what is the course for you and for me? Seek first the kingdom of God, and everything else will be added unto you. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. And by the way, it's seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So you should have added that. And everything else will be added unto you. There is a debate as to whether that righteousness is the righteousness that comes from God, which is Jesus. I don't mind that debate. That's a good debate. It's not a fellowship. I don't fellowship with people debate. It's just a good debate. Here's the bottom line. The bottom line is when you seek something, Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 through 2 says, you know, set your heart on things in heaven. That's Colossians 3, 1. 3, 2 says, set your thoughts on things of heaven. How you set your heart to something is you think about it. You let it run around in your brain. You let it become a part of your thinking. You let it process through you. This isn't some weird positive thinking, positive speaking, positive anything. In order for you and I not to be so quickly distracted by all the little noises and all the little carnivals, we need to have a focus. And that focus needs to be on the kingdom of God. And if you're trying to figure out what the kingdom of God is before you get into this big theological discussion, it's super easy. The kingdom of God is where God is king. And where he's not king, he should be. So in the areas of your life or the areas of my life where he's not the king, he ought to be. And what I want is for his kingdom to advance. So here's my life. Let's say I have 100 different items in my life. And let's say I have 65, maybe 60 things that are the kingdom of God are a part of. So I got this other 40 that aren't. Well, if I'm advancing the kingdom of God and seeking the kingdom of God, I need to be putting the kingdom of God in those other 40 that I'm not. And then in the areas that he is the Lord or he's king, I need to make sure he stays the king, because it's really easy for us as people to switch. I don't know about you, but as soon as I go to the altar and as soon as I write out on the little piece of paper, this is what my sin is, this is what I'm struggling with, and I put that down at the cross and then I turn around, it's my other hand that grabs it behind my back and sticks it and puts it right back in my pocket. That's what I do. And I'm not the only one. Now, you know I'm kidding when I say I'm the only person who's doing it. You guys do this too. And sometimes you just got to lay it down and let it go. And then you seek the kingdom of God, and where the areas where he's not king, you ask God. You don't tell God you're going to do this, because guess what? You don't tell God anything. It's okay to quote his word back to him. That's what they did in the book of Acts. They quoted scripture right back to God. That's cool. But you come to the Lord and you say, I need you to be the king. Please be the king in the areas I don't see. Open up my mind. Help open up my heart. Let me see the areas that you're not king in, and be the king there too. And for some of you, you don't think of it this way, but it's the excessive fears that you have that God is not king. And it's like, look, he wants to be king of all that. He wants his kingdom in all of you, not part of you. He wants his kingdom active, and he wants you walking in that kingdom. And then what happens is, oh, I'm afraid of this, and I know I need to make the Lord king. Oh, look, they've got a new special going on television. I got to watch it. And then you're just distracted, and nothing happens. Guess what that is? That's how the enemy works. So you got to just like go, no. You see, there's a really important principle. How long do we have? What do we got, like a minute? What do I have? Okay, a couple of minutes. All right. John 14:30. I will not talk with you much longer, Jesus said, because the ruler of this world is coming. He has no power over me. Literally in the Greek, it says he has nothing in me. Now, what that means, just so you can know, is in your life, you have these entry points. And when they're connected to sin, you're saying to Satan in that little entry point, hi, you can come visit me anytime. And that's the problem. And so many of us have way too many openings. And he just comes and visits, and it's he doesn't come to bring happiness. He comes to bring misery. And we're like, oh, no problem. And it's just like, that's the problem. So it's a seeking first the kingdom of God. It's a keeping the priority. It's a being honest with God. It's being in that accountability with God. It's being truthful with God. And it's moving forward with God. And what you don't know, bring before him. Say, I don't know how many areas. Help me work on what I do know. That's all you can do. He's not dumb. He knows how to be God. Okay? All right. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Sometimes things go according to plan, sometimes not so much. The Lord will always help his kids, but he does want us to use the wisdom he gave us as well. Insurance solutions are a great key for using preventative wisdom. If things do go in a tougher direction, insurance can be used to fill in the gap. There's biblical evidence for preparing for the future. King David did this for Solomon and the temple. Stephanie Vasquez has joined forces with New York Life Insurance Company to help provide insurance needs to fill in the gap. Stephanie hopes you never have to use the insurance she brings to you for life solutions. But if you do, it's good to know there's someone there who can help. Stephanie Vasquez will help you fill in the gaps. Call her today at 214-499-5378 or go to LinkedIn and type Stephanie Vasquez, NYL. That's LinkedIn and type Stephanie Vasquez, NYL. Stephanie Vasquez, New York Life Insurance, and you. A threefold cord is not easily broken. Ecclesiastes 4:12.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right. You'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water, and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven, and that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing, except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I got to ask Terrific Tierra what she thought. What did you think of that commercial?
You know, I actually like it.
Is that just so funny? What's going to happen if you don't give? Nothing. What are you going to give you? Nothing. This is what's going to happen. This is what we're doing. Okay, that's it. What's the best thing that could happen? You won't have to hear commercials like this. This is so good. I just love stuff like that. That's it. I mean, if you give it before the Lord. Now, look, my wife and I, we're pretty committed to giving. We haven't always been, but we've been doing a lot better in the later term of our life. And the bottom line is, you know, we give it unto the Lord. We don't know where every dollar goes, but I don't know where every dollar goes when I'm giving, paying my taxes. And I can guarantee you they're taking some of that money and using it for something better than McDonald's. So bottom line is we're asking you to participate and be a part of it. We need your help. That's it. Okay. But I loved it. That was just no commercial like this.
It was really good.
It was kind of like just a different kind of approach to it. So what do you get? Nothing. There you go. That's how I think. You're listening. Don't look at me. Look at yourself. You got a mirror. All right. I want to follow up on this little portion and really what I really wanted to focus on last time we didn't do so much, so I'm going to key in on it a little bit more. You know, that entry point that I was talking about in regards to Jesus, when Jesus said the enemy is coming, he has nothing in me, that's kind of an important point because for many of us, for whatever reason, there's some ministries that don't talk about sin or whatever the case may be. Hey, guess what? You got sin. I can guess right now. Ready? Swami. You've got sin in your life. Thanks. Why? Because most people struggle with sin. People that don't struggle with sin or have no sin in their lives are usually non-Christians who won't acknowledge they're sinners. That's... You can't get mad at me out of 10,000 people. I mean, that's just how that's the breakdown. And the truth is, when we have an area in our lives that we don't surrender to the Lord, we create problems. And we create problems with the enemy and for ourselves. And God's like, hey, close that up. It's not that you won't be forgiven. It's just, why create more problems while you're walking the walk by having openings that Satan can use? If you watch political shows and the result of that political show is you become angry all the time, guess what? You can't do that. You think, well, but it's a righteous war. Doesn't matter. For you, if it gets you mad all the time, you need a break. Sorry. Because you're not supposed to be angry. It's supposed to be a righteous anger, but the righteous anger doesn't go so much that there's no mercy, there's no compassion, there's no grace. I mean, you can't. This just doesn't work that way. That's just playing on your emotions. And for you, then, it's not good. Not for everybody, just for you, if that's the case. And so these are the things that are important for us to be able to go, look, I have sin inside me or a wretchedness inside me, and I want to do better, and I'm, you know, not doing all the things, and I'm kind of feeling like what's the word I'm looking for? I'm like gefilte fish on a big holiday without any horseradish. It's like it's a bad thing. You got to have horseradish with gefilte fish. Let me explain to you so that unless you think that I'm talking about just myself or just you as Bible-believing, born-again New Testament Christians, let me at least give you a little bit of connection to a very important person to us, and that's Moses. In Numbers 11 through 15, it says this. So Moses said to the Lord, why have you been so hard on your servant? Why have I not found favor in your sight? and that you've laid the burden of all this people on me. Was it I who conceived all these people? Was it I that brought them forth that you should say to me, carry them in your bosom as a nurse carries a nursing infant to the land which you swore to their fathers? Where am I to get meat to give all this people? For they weep before me, saying, give us meat that we may eat. I alone am not able to carry all of this people because it's too burdensome for me. So if you're going to deal thus with me, just kill me at once if I found favor in your sight, and don't let me see my own wretchedness. So for all those people that don't think Moses complained, maybe you should read Numbers 11 through 15. That's a lot of complaining. And what he's saying is, this is so hard. That's what he's saying. It's so hard. Have you ever said that to the Lord? You should feel great that you are in sync with Mo. You're connected to Moses. Congratulations. That's great. But Moses recognized something that a lot of people who are Christians don't recognize, and that is, this is just so overwhelming. Okay, you know what? You can just kill me. You know what? If I found favor in your sight, don't let me see how bad I really am. Don't let me see my own wretchedness. I mean, I'm just so bad. Now, I'm not saying that to make you feel bad about yourself, but this squirrely gospel concept that everybody should feel good all the time and there should never be any negativity, that's the positive thinking kind of thing. It's like, that's just nowhere in the book. It's one thing to have faith. It's another thing to be a complete zombie. And to have faith means you can look at something just like Jonathan did and said, look, those people are up there. They hate us. You know what? We're going to give this a shot. Perhaps the Lord will be with us. And his servant was like, okay, dude, whatever you want to do, let's do it together. Well, let's just see what the Lord does. And he goes, okay, well, this will be the sign. So for those people that don't think people ask for signs, if they say, come up here, we'll come up there and we'll beat them and the Lord will give it to us. If they say, stay down there, we'll come down and beat you up. We won't go up there. And so he's like got this thing. It's great. That doesn't mean he has Mr. Positive attitude all the time. This is the same guy that said his father was an idiot. Right? And the reason I'm talking to you this way is to break away from this religiosity of Christianity. This is a living relationship with a living God. There are real feelings in real moments in real time where you sit there and you go, I don't get it. I've had a grandchild in the hospital for 90 days. You know what I've said to God in those 90 days? I have not said, well, this is just super terrific. Thank you. I'm so glad that my daughter calls me up every other day crying and my grandchild's on a breathing apparatus. You think I do that? I don't. I say, what are you doing? This is crazy. Why are you letting me even see this? Why? Because that's honest. And then the Lord, he challenges me. I know what I'm doing, you know, kind of attitude. And I'm like, okay, but I need encouragement because I'm feeling low. And it's like, you know, the Lord's not unaware. I mean, I find it amazing. Okay, I got to be really careful here. Treading on thin ice. I find it amazing that we're able to discern ourselves when our own dogs and cats need a little bit of extra petting, loving, or whatever. And then we don't think God knows that about us. Not that we're dogs or cats. Why I'm saying that is that if we're aware of other beings and their needs, how much more so would that be true from God? I mean, if God knows what's going on in a sparrow's life, do you think he knows what's going on in yours? Of course he does. And being honest and having this engagement with God, this is not, you know, the idea is it's not a sin to be honest with God. But you tell him where it's at. You say, hey, I need help here. This is just so deep. And so tell him, talk to him. Don't let Satan use it as a building tool for you to have a warped image of God, because that's what the enemy will do. God is the perfect parent. He knows where your limit is. He knows when that limit has to, for you, it has to fully turn over into his hands. And don't give me, he won't give you beyond what you're able to handle. No, it says he won't give you beyond, you won't let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. In fact, 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will provide a way out so you can endure it. That's temptation. That's not situation. Sometimes the circumstance calls for us just to fall flat on our face before God and go, I have no idea what to do, but my eyes are upon you. Ask Jehoshaphat. That's exactly what he said. But in that process, you be honest. You be you. You be real. Don't be religious. The one group of people Jesus disliked the most were the religious. Just be honest. You can have an outstanding, effective, powerful ministry and testimony and connection with God without having a title of religious in the way that the Pharisees were back in the day. It doesn't matter what the world calls you. Nobody, it doesn't, they don't mean that. That doesn't mean anything. They don't know. They've already rejected Christ. They could care less. What matters is how you engage with God. And if he wants to, you know, use circumstances in your life to teach you, you're open to that. And you need to be open and real with him and go, this is really hard. I don't get this. I need help. But there is a trust, right? I mean, you know, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. He will direct your paths. Which tells you, the way we see it's not always the way it is, right? But we can trust him to get us through it. And the reason I bring all that stuff together, it's kind of like you're thinking, well, why are you talking about this in segments? Because if you put it all together in a package, it's called a relationship with God. Because my wife and I, we have a relationship with one another. We support one another. We encourage one another. And there's times where I'll do something wrong and she'll do something wrong. She came in from 45 hours of work, right? And she walked into the door and I did everything I could do for her. And she was really mad about something else. And guess who she took it out on? Moi. And I said, whoa, Sparky. Well, that's relationship. And you share that with my mother. She goes, all right, I'm sorry. She goes, I shouldn't be doing that. So do that. Be real with God. Have that communion with God. Seek for his kingdom to be in all 100 areas of your life, not 60. Don't give any openings to Satan. Don't let Satan distract you. Don't let him throw you into the tizzy of the world. And follow hard after him. Be a recognize, hey, that resurrection stuff from Jesus, that means you live forever and ever. And God loves you. Connect with him. Spend time with him. God is not about Sunday morning and Wednesday night. It's 24/7 or it's not. That's the truth. All right, folks, that's for a Monday. Wow. We can't wait till tomorrow. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a 23-hour break, then we'll come back. Good job, terrific Tierra. See you tomorrow.
The views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.